This is a Bekiyas recording for Maseches Chagiga, Daf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph. So we were in the middle of a discussion. The Mishnah previously had said that one of the things that's like a mountain that's hanging by a thread, meaning that it has virtually no source for some of the halachos, is the din of Me'ila. Again, Me'ila refers to utilizing Hekdesh for your own purposes and having to bring a special carbon ashram for that and violating the Isser of Me'ila. So we had a case quoted in the Mishnah in Maseches Me'ila, and it was that if I take a beam or a stone that belongs to Hekdesh, I didn't violate Me'ila at that point, but when I gave it to my friend to use and he didn't know and I didn't know that it was for Hekdesh, then when I gave it to my friend, I violate Me'ila, and he doesn't. So basically we said first, that has no Svara, and therefore that's what it means, that it's Keharara Natuyen Besar. However, the Gemara said back, no, maybe maybe the correct shot is like Shmuel, who learns that Mishnah as referring to the Gizbar of Hekdesh, which means that this is the guy in charge of collecting items for Hekdesh, and therefore he had it in his house, and he took it, and he gave it to a friend. So he violated Me'ila, because he's the Gizbar, he's in charge of it, so it's considered to be belonging to him, wherever it may be. And therefore, it's totally logical why he violates Me'ila when he gives it over to his friend, and his friend does not. So now we're picking it up where we left off, which was by the word Ella. So that is the second to last word on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Ella mi Seifa. We're talking about the same Mishnah, but in the Seifa. B'na b'toch beso harei zeh lo mal ad shiyodur tachteo b'shave pruta. So it says, if let's say he builds this beam into his roof and makes it part of his house. He has not violated Me'ila until he lives underneath that roof beam and he gains a pruta's worth of benefit from the fact that he built it into his house. That is the quote from the Mishnah. So Michti, so let's see what's going on here. Shinuye Shania, meaning he changed the Rishus. He took it out of the Rishus of Hekdesh and put it into his own Rishus. So Mali Dar, Mali Lodar. What's the difference at that point going forward if he benefits by living underneath it or not? He already took it from Hekdesh and used it for himself. So he should have violated Me'ila without having to live underneath it. So the fact that the Mishnah says he has to live underneath it, that is such a difficult idea. So the Hainu Ke'ararin Atulian Besara, that's what it means. It's like mountains that are hanging by a thread. That's what the Mishnah was referring to. Mar says, nah, umay kushya, why is that such a kasha? Why is this such a difficult thing to understand? Dilmalicha de Rav, maybe pshat in the Mishnah is like Rav. Dama Rav, kigon shehinicha al pi aruba, o darbe, I'm sorry, shehinicha al pi aruba. He put it on top of a skylight, meaning he took a stone or a beam, and he didn't build it into the building. He put it on top of his roof, or he used it to fill in a window, or to fill in a skylight, and it wasn't really removed from the Rishus of Hekdesh by doing this. E darbe in, e lo darbe lo. And that way, if he used it and he got benefit from it by living under it, then fine, he violates Me'ila at that point. And if he doesn't, then he didn't do anything because it's completely removable. Eloli olam kidurala. So we're going to go back and explain that it's referring to the case of Rav, that Rava wanted to use to refer to this Mishnah, which was that if the Mishaleach sends a Shliach to do something, and the Mishaleach remembers after he sent the Shliach that the item that he wants the Shliach to use is Hekdesh, but the Shliach never finds out about it, so then we say the Mishaleach swears off of it, and the Shliach is in violation of Me'ila at that point, and not the Mishaleach. And we said that's very difficult to understand. Why should the Shliach violate Me'ila we said that the Shliach violates Me'ila because it's Bishogeh for him, but the Mishaleach shouldn't violate anything because he broke the Shlichus when he realized that it was the wrong thing to do. So we asked the Kasha, why is Rava's case so difficult? It's the same thing as someone who takes money that belongs to Hekdesh and he spends it, not realizing it, he spends it on something that's chulin and he used it and he removes the Kedusha from it by doing so. So we said, so why is this so different? Hassan, the case where he spent the the most hektish for and your motzi them lechulin. May the other the ika zuzi the hektish. That has to be talking about a case where there's a guy who knows that there is some hektish money in his possession, and he didn't realize that this was the hektish money, and therefore he should have looked into it a little bit more and tried to figure out which money was which. Hacha miyada. So he says, here, the shliach has no idea. You tell the shliach, here, go take care of this, go utilize this object for me, go use this money for me and buy me something. He doesn't know anything. So he should have then looked into it better to find out maybe this stuff that he's trying to get me to do is hektish. There's no reason to think such a thing. And therefore, it's completely not his fault. So it's a huge chiddush when the Mishnah said that it's referring to a case that where the shaliach violates me'ila and the mishaliach does not. And this is what it means, that it's like a mountain hanging from a thread. Very, very hard to understand. Okay. Then the Gemara now analyzes the next line in the Mishnah, which is mikra mu'ad ba'alachas merubas. Very few things written about it in the Tanakh, but it has a lot of halachos. So Tana, so we learn in the Braisa, nigayim va'alos mikra mu'ad ba'alachas merubas. So he says, the Gemara says, wait a second. We have a Braisa which says that Nigayim and Alos have very few psukim, but they have many halachos. Nigayim, mikra, what are you talking about? Tzaras has very few psukim written about it. Nigayim, mikra, merubo. There's tons of psukim. The whole parasha is Tazria, and some Mitzora has to do with Nigayim. It's a very large sampling in the Torah. So I'm Rapapa Achikamar. Nigayim, mikra, merubo, halachos, muatos. Right, so he's saying that when it comes to Nigayim, there's a lot of psukim, and there are not that many halachos. Alos, mikra mu'ad, v'halachos, merubos. But alos, the halachos of Tumas Ohel, so there's not that much about it in the Torah. But there are many, many halachos. Mesechas alos, very hard mesechta, and is very lengthy mesechta, whereas the psukim in the Torah that deal with alos are not so expansive. So my nafkamina, so very nice that we know which things have a lot of psukim and which things don't, but why is this all brought up? So he says, "E mistap galach milsim and negayim ayin b'kroy," because we want to tell you that if you don't know something in the halakos of tzaras, so then you should actually go back to the Torah and look in the psukim themselves, and you'll get a lot out of it. E mistap galach milsim ba'alos, but if you don't know the halacha in something in halakos alos ayin b'masnis, then going to the psukim it's not going to be so helpful. You really have to go straight to the Mishnah. Okay, continuing on, the last list that the Mishnah had was Dinin, referred to Dinei Mominis, is one of the things that makes up the Gufei Torah. That's something that has a lot written about it in the Torah and a lot of halachos. So the Gemara says, Mechtav Ksivan, right? So it says it has a lot written about it. It wasn't just a small amount. It wasn't a smach in the pasuk, like the Mishnah implies that it has a smach in the pasuk, it has something to rely on, but it's not a long, topic. So Gemara asks, what are you talking about? Mechtav Sivan, there's a lot written about it. So lo nitzracha ela lichadirevi. So you need this to explain the sheet of Rebbe. The Tanya, where the following Braisa, Rebbe Omer, nefesh tachas nefesh mamel. When it says ayin tachas ayin nefesh tachas nefesh, etc., that's referring to you pay money. You don't kill the other guy because of him. You tell me it means you have to pay money, but maybe it means you actually kill the guy. Nemar nesina lamata, the nemar nesina limala. So it says a lashon of yitain or nesina in both places, in two different places. Ma nesina malahalan mamon afkan mamon. So it says just like elsewhere, it says you have to give him the money, so too, when it says nefesh tachas nefesh, so benasata nefesh tachas nefesh, the lashon nesina, so too here, we know there's a gzeirah shavah teaches us that it's mamon. So that's an idea that it's alluded to in the pasuk, but it's not explicit in the pasuk, and therefore we need the Torah Shabbat that it teaches us. Avodos, the way to do the avoda and the korbanos, so that has a smach in the pasuk, but it's not fully written out, and there's many, many halachos in Torah Shabbat Peh. So Mechtav Ksivan says the Gemara, what are you talking about? It's all written out in the Torah. There's lengthy parshios and Vayikra, Tzav, Shmini, etc. So there's tons of stuff about it, mostly Vayikra, Tzav. But okay, so it says, Lo nitzcha ela laholachas hadam. So we're talking specifically one thing that doesn't have a large explanation in the Torah, but it has a smach, is the din of doing holacha. Right, there are four stages when you shech the korban in the avodas adam. There's the shechita, that's the shechting the animal. The kabbalah is when you receive it into a kli sharis. Holacha, that's the third step when you bring it and you walk it to the mizbeach. And then zrika is when you throw the dam from the cup onto the corners of the mizbeach. So there, the avodah of holacha is not so explicit. The tanya, because we have the following brisa, v'ekrivu zu kabbalah sadam. When it says you bring it, that's referring to kabbalah sadam. V'afka rachmana v'lashna holacha. Right, and the Torah uses the lashna holacha dechsev v'ekriva kohen es hakol v'ektir hamizbecha. The kohen should bring the whole thing close and burn it on the mizbeach. And we learn from this, zu holachas evarim lekevesh. This is talking about bringing the limbs of the korban tamid to the ram. Korban ola, which a tamid is a type of ola, to the ram. The memra, the holacha, lo tatfa nechlal kabbalah. To teach us that holacha is no less of an avoda than kabbalah is, meaning that this is one of the four avodas that we have to do. Okay, another thing that was on the list in the Mishnah was taharos, that the laws of Tum and Tara have something, a smach in the pasuk. So then the Gemara says the same thing. Mechtav Ksivan, this is something that's written at length about Tum and Tara in the Torah. Lo nitzkra el l'shir mikvah. So now, one thing that's a smach in the pasuk is the shir of how big a mikvah has to be. The lo ksiva, that's not written in the Torah. The tanya v'rachatz b'mayim. So it says in the pasuk, you should wash yourself in water, meaning be tovel in the mikvah. B'mei mikvah. As kol b'saro, it says specifically you have to do your entire body. Mayim shekol gufo ola bohem. B'kamahim. So how much is this that your whole body has to be able to be immersed in? Ama al ama burum shalosh amas. One ama by one ama in the depth of three amas. V'shira chacham mei mikvah b'am saw. And the chachamim cheshbened it out and they came to the conclusion that the Torah is referring to 40 saw. So yes, there's a smach in the pasuk. It says barachatz kol b'saro, but that's not explicit, and that's why it's dafka smach and not, it's not michtav ksiva. Okay, tmeo, so the laws of tuma and tara. So it's michtav ksiva, and that's also explicitly written in the Torah. Lo nitzcha ela kishe adasha min asheretz, the lo ksiva, the shear of a lentil, meaning how much of a sheretz can make you tame magor masa, it's an adasha, the size of a small lentil, which that's a piece of a sheretz, can make you tame with if you touch it or pick it up. So the Tanya Bohem, right, it says specifically in the Pasuk that Ela Tmeim Lachem Chol HaSheretz HaKolon Ogeh Bohem B'mosam Yitmar Ha'arv. So if you touch them, so Yachol B'kulan, I might think you have to touch all of the Sheretz, Talmud Lomar, Mehem, because it also has the word Mehem in the Torah as well, Yachol B'miktsasam, so maybe it's just the tiniest amount, Talmud Lomar Bohem. That's his mashma, the whole thing. Hakeitzad ad sheyiga b'miktsas o shehu kekulo. Right, so it has to be a small amount, but it has to be like all of it. Meaning, it has to be the shear of the smallest of the shiratzim. Shiru chachamim b'chadasha, and the chacham cheshbin that was the size of a lentil. Shekin chomet tchilaso b'chadasha. Right, one of the shmona shiratzim. So Rashi tells you what he is, but he makes it clear that it's not so clear. Not everybody knows exactly what he's referring to. It's a sheretz that's called a limga in the Rashi over here. Okay, Maisa, it's the smallest sheretz. It starts off when it's first born, the size of a lentil. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudah, Omer Kizanav Halata. Right, it's like the tail of a lizard that it still twitches after you cut it off, and therefore that's considered the smallest possible shear, where they got the lentil from. Okay, we'll hold here. Continue Bezra Shem next time.